Good morning. Annyeong Haseyo. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. Today we have three services, and tea and coffee will be served between the morning services. Pastoral news. Peggy Chegwin is in hospital. The conference for the Korean missionaries working in Europe went well, and thank you to all who gave donations towards making this event a success. Special thanks go to the team that made the gifts for all the conference participants. I'd like to bring your attention to the opportunity to support Kingston Church's action on homelessness. They are taking part in a sponsored walk organised by Charity Walk for Peace. They're looking for walkers for Sunday the 29th of April. If you're interested, please let Stuart Chandler know. There he is, over there. Thank you, Stu. 5K? Five K, we think. I was looking in the email and I couldn't see. Yeah. This Tuesday from 7:30 in the evening, it's our book club meeting. And all are welcome, even if you haven't read the book. And finally, just to notice that the recital that happened on Thursday was a great success. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, that when God is revealed totally, we will be like God and we will see God as God is. We join together to sing Christ the Lord is risen today, first two and last two verses. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
We join together to pray. Let us pray. Almighty God, reveal yourself to us as we listen to your word in scripture and preaching, as we respond in prayer and song. Make yourself known to us as we recall the stories of our faith. For to God, who is revealed in the stories, the writings of Scripture, who has cleared the way for the coming of the Messiah in the person of Jesus, to you, O God, be all praise. To God, who is revealed in the manger and the cross, who spoke of love and lived a life according to the new ways of seeing in the kingdom, to you be all praise. And also, we give you thanks and praise, O God, for you are revealed in people of faith through the ages, that you are God who is revealed on this day. Open our eyes to see you. Forgive us, O God, our obsession with all that is wrong, all that is not working, that we who are the children of the light appear to delight in the darkness. Forgive us. Rekindle your light and your joy within us, that we would be people who speak of your power, your life, and your resurrection. Have mercy on us and cleanse us of our sin, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
good morning. Some of the adults in the congregation have been given a flag, a coloured flag. So I'm going to ask them to come to the front now and stand along the front with a little gap between each person. Yeah? Turn yours around that way. Yeah. Different colours. Right, brilliant. Today, and I'm really relieved, Esther, that you're here today, because the other children don't seem to be here, certainly at the moment anyway. We're going to be thinking about emotions, feelings, okay? So can I just do a quick straw poll? How do we feel in general? Hands up if you're tired this morning. Good news for the preacher. Yes. They're not tired. There's 100% alertness going on. Almost. Yes. They might be tired by the time you've finished your sermon. Is that what he's saying? Finley? Feeling happy? Yeah. in the story today, Esther, we've got a group of people who went from being very frightened and confused, which we do sometimes feel, don't we, to being amazed and very joyful, which we also feel. So we're going to just explore some of those things. And sometimes what we do when we think about feelings is I don't know why we do this, we just do. We give them colours. We use colours to express feelings. Okay, so for some reason, yellow, people often think of yellow as being a very happy, cheerful colour. Just like Stuart. I didn't give these flags out telling them what the feelings were. I just said pick a colour, okay? So there's no hidden agendas here. Right, Vaughan, I'm afraid to say, sometimes blue we think of could mean peace, but today it's going to be a bit sad. A bit sad. Okay, sorry, Vaughan. Can you look sad? Yeah. white, I'm going to say is neutral. It's just blank. Sorry, can you, blah, a bit kind of, I'm not sure, feel ambivalent sometimes we use the word, but if we're not sure, if we're a bit blank on something, then white. Can you do an angry face?
I like it.
That's not angry. the face that you'd do if I told you you were going to do Tots praise for the next 50 years. Yeah, that's more like it. Sometimes we think red stands for angry. I don't know why, but we just do. And purple, I've picked as frightened. Okay, we don't always think of, but frightened, a bit scared. Okay, now Esther, I'm going to ask you and one or two grown-ups how you feel about certain situations. Okay, so anyone, all you've got to do is pick a flag that would match how you feel when I give you a certain situation. Now, have we got any volunteers to do this? Bethany? Esther, come to the front. Catherine, for a week, can come to the front. And Maddie. Right, okay. The first situation, you're holding a baby. How would that make you feel? So happy, sad, not sure, don't care, angry, or frightened? How would you feel, do you think? Happy. Catherine couldn't care less, fine. Yeah. Maddie said she'd be happy as long as it's not hers. If it was crying its eyes out, you might not be happy. But okay, you're holding a spider. Oh. Angry. Okay, so frightened. I'd definitely be in the frightened camp. In fact, well, no, I wouldn't. I'd be 5 miles the other side of town. Why would you be angry holding a spider?
Because it will sting.
Because it might sting. Oh, yes. Okay. Good. Fair enough. You've got to go to school. Esther already goes to school, really. So, is this sad?
Happy.
You're happy. Excellent. Brilliant. Brilliant. Bethany's angry about having to go back to school, and the rest are just frightened. Oh. You're going on holiday to a hot country. I'm definitely here. Yeah, hot country, yes, please. Esther, what do you think? Would you like to go to a hot country? No. Where do you want to stay? The flag wavers are not allowed to move. Do you like hot countries? Do you like being in the sun? You don't. Would you be a bit sad then? Or not sure? Indifferent. Can you stand there? Stand there. What about if it was a cold country? Happy? You'd just be happy to go anywhere, okay? So it's skiing, something like that, maybe? You may as well just stay here. It's just, you know, may as well. Today, I want to say two things. One, you, Esther, are going to learn about people who had lots of different emotions, about the fact that Jesus was alive again, okay? And to the adults, I'm going to say, when people walk into church, you never quite know what's going on inside of them, do you? They might look happy and smile and say, I'm fine, thanks. But inside, they might be feeling frightened about something that's going on this week. They might feel angry about something that's happened. Might be feeling numb. They might be feeling very sad. And the great thing about Jesus is he welcomes everyone. No matter where we're coming from and what we're feeling, he welcomes everybody. And that's very clear in the Bible when we see all the different emotions going on. And it's our job as a church, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to work alongside people to get them from feeling sad, numb, don't care, angry, frightened, to feeling joyful in the Lord Jesus. That's our job together as a church. We're going to sing. Thank you, helpers.
Yeah, to know he's with us and all that stuff. Right, Jesus' love is very wonderful. With actions, come on, you can, up you come. Come on, let's do it. Up, up. You know that, well, you could stand up thing? No. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round of it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round of it. Oh, wonderful love. Which is what we need to remember at those times when we are feeling angry and sad and lonely. See you later. Be careful with Olivia. Don't drop her. Be careful. See that? Another health and safety assessment needed. Sheesh, forget about the socks, eh? Right, here we go. There's a couple of readings, a couple of bits of the scriptures that you know that are sort of in the background of this reading. You remember the story about the walk, Clopas and another person, maybe his wife, walk to Emmaus? Remember that story? Nod, please. Thank you very much. Yep, good. So that's just happened. The bread was broken, and in that moment they recognized it was Jesus, and that's what it says. They then went straight back to Jerusalem. And this is what happens next. And the other story that's in the background somewhere is the story which you only get in the Gospel according to John, which is the story that we call Doubting Thomas. That's also, I think, for us, well, maybe in the tradition of the church. And Mr. Raymond Charlton will read this passage to us. It says it on the order of service, man. You forgot, didn't you? I can tell. Honestly and truly, get the staff. I'm just wittering to allow you time to put your glasses on and.
God, sorry, excuse me. Okay, yeah, today's reading will be from Luke 24, reading verses 36 to 48. Jesus appears to his disciples. While the two were telling them this, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming into your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Feel me and you will know, for a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you can see I have." He said this and showed them his hands and feet. They still could not believe. They were full of joy and wonder. So he asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had come true." Then they opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witness to all these things."
So let us pray. We come here, Lord Jesus, as your complete people. Take us as we listen to your word to the depths of ourselves, beyond the dancing of our minds, the fragility of our motion, to explore your truth. Lord, we pray. Amen. Jesus says, "Peace. Why are you afraid?" And how do we respond? Jesus says to the disciples, "Peace. Why are you afraid?" And he says the same question to us. Peace. Why are you afraid? Why is there fear in our lives? In our church? Why is there fear in the life of the church? What foolish faithlessness is that? She said to herself. The answer is the same for us as the disciples. Why are we afraid? And the answer is because at some level we're lacking in faith. We question, we doubt, we think that we are in charge. Indeed, we're taught to believe that that's how it works. When you get to be a grown-up, you're in charge. And if you're not, well, you should be. And you should be learning. You should be working it out. You should be working it out physically. You should be working it out intellectually. Is it possible that the way that you are looking at the world is leading you up a cul-de-sac? I was recently chatting to somebody who has sustained a substantial ministry in Kingston, and she's decided that actually this ministry has got to have to stop. And it's because she has an intellectual faith that actually has meant that her life is becoming drier and drier. So she stopped preaching, she stopped leading Bible study, because she's found herself to be intellectualizing the joy out of her faith. How is the view that you have on the world impacting on the life that you live? And I'll just lob it in, because a number of you know it's a bit of a, it's getting towards being a bit of a hobby horse for me. I'm just going to lob it in and then leave it, not dissect it anymore. Is it possible that actually the world could go on with you not watching all the news that you watch? And is it not possible that maybe all that negativity is actually distorting the life that you live? We are people of faith, but that does not mean that we're idiots, and it doesn't mean that we're called to believe 100 impossible things before breakfast. We do, however, need to acknowledge that because we are people of faith, we believe things that other people think of as completely bonkers. Let's just put it out there. You know, we believe that there is this something that's interested in us, that in this room, we believe that in this room where we're all here now, there's somebody else. Other people would think we were nuts, but that is a fundamental of who we are and what we believe. And we've pledged ourselves to live a life and to ways that other people would think of were completely nuts as well. So we need to get the balance right. We need to be people who take our scriptures seriously, but at the same time, not get caught up in snake-talking fundamentalism. We take the scriptures seriously, but that we bring our brains to the party. We believe the Bible is the word of life, but we also, and we believe it has to be studied, it has to be internalized, it has to transform the people that we are, but we are not people who are caught up in some sort of straitjacket of anti-intellectualism. We are people who are followers of Jesus, who came to offer life in all its fullness, joy. So from the text, it's clear that the writer of the Gospel according to Luke wants us to know that we are talking, when we talk about the resurrected Jesus, we are talking about somebody who in some senses is flesh and blood. In some senses. We are not in dealing with a ghostly apparition here. But there are other things in the story that we also need to be taking seriously, because they also are in the story. The disciples encounter the resurrected Jesus, and the first thing that happens is they are frightened. At the tomb, the conversation with the angels, fear. That thing, that what the hell is going on? That shock, fear. And the words of the angels and Jesus, peace, trying to calm people down. So whatever it is, it's not the regular physical. This Jesus has appeared through walls. Something has happened. And something has happened to Jesus, to the physical man Jesus, in the whole process of he was dead, he is alive. Something has happened to his physicality in that process. Because you cannot walk all that way with somebody that you know, you cannot encounter somebody in the garden that you know and not recognize them. It's, you know, something has happened to the physicality of the man Jesus. He comes through walls and yet he eats fish. How does this work? I don't know. I don't know. And the writer of the Gospel according to Luke is not somebody who we believe has ever encountered Jesus. He was the next generation on. He hung around with lots of people who had met Jesus, but he himself did not meet the resurrected Jesus. But his message to us is, he was dead, he is alive. And the scripture is written very clearly from the point of view to make the point that this experience is not about a ghost. In the ancient world, this is a pub quiz sort of knowledge. The ancient world, there were criterion for what is going on here. Is this a ghost? And the scripture makes it quite clear that what we're dealing with here is not a ghost. If the minute somebody physically can be eating fish, not a ghost. No, 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 not happening. So this is not, we're not in a ghostly encounter. This Jesus can be encountered in a physical way. So here we are with something that is new and something that is different. And of course, we are people. We like to organize things. We like things set up. We know about dead people. We might not like it, but we know about it. Dead, yep, we get that. That's good. Yep, yep, yep. Alive, yep, we know about that. That's neat. But this thing that moves from, you know, you go alive, you go dead. That's one-way traffic. No. This is a new thing. An earth-shattering, everything-changing thing. No wonder they were frightened. No wonder they were frightened. Is it possible that the whole point of the resurrection stories is to turn our worldview upside down? That you thought it was like this, you thought that was how you did it, you could measure it, you could put it in boxes, and suddenly something happens that turns it all upside down. You thought that this mattered as the Romans hang the man on the cross. You thought that was, that might is right. And yet, God still has the power. You thought that death and evil would triumph, and yet, and just before anybody thinks, bombing in Syria, you know, we live in violent times, please remember, this is a man who's just been tortured to death. His blood drips on the floor and his skin is ripped where they've whipped him. And yet, we're saying, because we believe it to be true, that God has the power over death. And it's not because he was smothered by a marshmallow. God has the power over death, even the most brutal and hideous thing. So our question is not, how did this happen? Or how does this work? That's not our job. Our job is, somehow, Jesus who was dead is now alive. God has the power over death. How is that going to transform the life that I live? That's our job. How is that certainty going to transform the life that I live? How does it work then about resurrection? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how love works. I don't know how love works. Ask me. Ask me to intellectualize love. I couldn't do it. But I know the reality of it, and I know the transformational power of it, and I know what a life looks like that doesn't have it. I think for some of us, the question is, can we cope with mystery? In the world of God, if you have it sorted, if you have it organized, then what you have is not God. The question for all of us is, are these fundamentals of the way that I live my life, do they lead me to a more joyous, loving, kind, generous worldview? Or not? Can we cope with the mystery? The mystery of death, the mystery of life, the mystery of love? And the answer is about imbibing the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to transform us from the inside out. And letting that flow into our lives and taking us beyond our fear. Let us be still, and then we will pray. Lord Jesus, turn our sadness to joy. Be with us when we're frightened. Help us to challenge a culture that says you have to have it all nailed down and sorted. And help us to remember the truth that is ours. And give us, Lord Jesus, the delicacy, the confidence to share it. Lord, we pray. Amen. We join together to sing Eternal Father, Strong to Save. This is what happens when you ask me for a hymn. Eventually, you get it. We join to sing. join to pray? Let us pray. Let us bring before God those who have never known the transformative power of love. Those whose worldview is shaped by cynicism, by loneliness, let us pray for those who are frightened. Frightened not because of something good that has happened, but those who are frightened for their future. Those who are frightened because of how they will manage. Those who are frightened of what others may do for them. For those who are in Syria and frightened. Or in other war-torn lands. For those who are in the hospital and frightened, the hospice, Lord, we ask your blessing on those who have the courage and the opportunity to speak your word of peace. And we hold up before you, Lord our God, our fear. The challenge of our view of the world. Open our eyes, Lord Jesus, for we would see you. And our prayer is that those who are fearful would know you too. And we pray in your name. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. We return this money and the money that we have organized through our banks. We return these lives. May they be used and shaped and modeled by you, loving God. Amen. We join together to sing Jesus, Lord Redeemer. Made what you got? Let's have a look. I'll be coming. Can't hear you. I can hear you, but everybody else can't. You've made some sort of speak now. They can hear you.
We made some
an emotion chart. so you can know how you feel. Have you got? You've got. You've got. Because those disciples, that is exactly where they were. And then he said to them, peace, which is calm, and then they were joyful. Yep. But I guess quite a lot. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So just as the risen Christ appears to his disciples, bringing them his peace and sending them out as witnesses, so we go from this place to witness to his life, his death, his resurrection. Thanks be to God. Amen.